Why so serious?
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the Toy Department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, you know, I was going to say it's a Thursday edition of the challenge. And let's be real, it'll be Thursday by the time anyone hears this.
Yes.
But it's still technically Wednesday.
Yeah. early taping.
In our world. Immediately post-challenge. Excited to talk about this week's episode, which I have to say I found from a gameplay strategy standpoint to be, like, a little intriguing. Do you agree?
If by intriguing you mean I'm struggling to figure out, I mean, Kyle kind of said it at the end of the episode, like, you had a plan and you're saying it worked, but why is this the outcome you wanted?
Yeah, look, here's the thing, right? Is like, she didn't, Teresa had a plan.
Uh-huh.
Is maybe overstating it. Like, Teresa had a desired outcome.
Right.
And she achieved the desired outcome, right? So she had a plan in the sense that she wanted something to happen and she made it happen. Now, did she do that in the way that was going to be least painful to her or was strategic in any way, shape, or form? It seems like no. And that's sort of the thing to me, right? It's like, I think that if you are in that rogue agent position, right? You kind of have two choices at this point, right? It's like you can decide to do what Teresa did, which is and what most people have done these last few weeks, which is continue to try to pit two strong players against each other and take one out, right? The guarantee you're going to take a strong player out, right? Or you can try to put in a layup and then put yourself in and get your skull, right? Like those are pretty much the approaches, right?
Right. And
I think that both have merits if you do them right. You know what I mean?
I mean, I honestly...
But Teresa seems like she really did it wrong.
Here's the thing. What merit does not trying to find your own way in really have at this stage?
Well... There's 10 skulls in the game, right?
I figure so that means we're about halfway through giving out skulls, right?
And yeah, we're about halfway through giving out skulls, and you figure there is some amount of opportunity to take one from someone.
Maybe.
Well, right?
Maybe. But right now, if we're halfway through, and there's two or three skulls left per gender to be given away... By the time the next elimination comes around to your gender, people are going to be desperate to get in there. You know what I mean? Like,
you think
the game is going to flip sooner than later to people trying to get in instead of people trying to avoid. And also by then, like, the odds of you having a tougher matchup in the dome are much higher, or whatever it's called, the pit.
Yeah.
The,
I mean, look, I don't think that we're that close to, like, the final, because it does seem like there's still a fair amount of, like, fat to be trimmed from this cast, doesn't
it? Well, I tend to agree. I mean, we can't be very close to the final. And yet, I'm just saying, like, we are relatively close to there not being skulls. And
I guess, I mean...
And if you wait...
It's like, all right, so good. Yeah.
Like,
if
okay.
You wait, right, you have less control.
You have less control, and also, you may never have control again. And also, if you don't have control and you're trying to get thrown in, it'll be harder to do that than it is right now. Like, the smart people, in my view, are the people who are trying to get in there now against the weakest competition possible. And Teresa and Jay, it seems like, really had, like, an open door. They could have swung the vote. And if you could have swung the house
vote... Yeah, they could have done whatever they wanted to.
Yeah, so if you could have swung the house vote to Amber M, to Little Amber, why not?
Well, I think, well, you know what? I was going to explain that by saying I think that, right, because Teresa was trying to play both sides of the rookie girl, veteran girl fence there, that she felt like her options for who she could put in were fairly limited. But, like, it doesn't make sense. Like, yeah, like, if you put in Amber M, either of the Ambers for that matter, right? Like, the rookie girls might be pissed at you a little bit. But, like, I don't know that, like, that's not any better than having Cam and Corey and Kyle and, right, like, the
no,
army of strong
better.
Competitors who are now, like, I mean, sorry, that is better. That's what I mean.
Right.
It's right. That's a better scenario, yes. So, I don't, yeah, I think that she just severely miscalculated that situation. The other thing I would say is that she was determined to do it in a way that was duplicitous, right? And
right.
I do think there is a road, right? Since people do actually kind of want to go in.
Yeah.
That if you just do what you want, but you're straight up about it and you tell people, you kind of eliminate that, hey, you lied to me.
Yeah. So,
right?
Like, here's what I would ask. If I was their coach, right? If I was Teresa and Jay's coach, when she's like, don't tell anybody that the House voted for Corey and what's her face? Ashley. Why? What do you gain by keeping that secret?
Right. It's barely a secret, right? Like, people kind of know that you know at this point.
Well, they so. Were one of the teams that, like, they were one of two teams that might have gone in, right? Everyone knows you have the information. Like, why would you lie to your friend in that scenario? It doesn't make sense. And Jay realized it too late. But he's listening to the wrong person. Teresa is not good at this.
Right. If I was Jay's coach, that's the thing. Like, my advice to Jay would be, like, you know, dude, you have agency.
Yeah,
here.
Play your own game, dude.
Like, you're half the team. What are you doing, man? You know, like, God love him. You're not going to do that to Devin. Right?
Yeah, well, so, like, this is one of the things.
He's going to be like, yeah, whatever Teresa wants. You
know
what I mean?
Right, but this is one of the things is, like, secrecy about something like this sounds like the sort of thing that makes sense in a challenge. But nobody bothered to be like, okay, well, what are we getting out of this particular secret? Because the answer is nothing. Totally nothing. There was nothing to be gained by not telling Corey and Ashley that they were going in. You didn't even do that. I mean, you did, but you didn't make the votes, right?
I also don't understand, like, if you're Jay, what does this do? What did you think this was doing to advance your game?
Right.
Like, all the motivation there was Teresa's.
Exactly.
Right? Like,
and
she's
why
settling scores or
right.
doing it's, whatever. And
she must be
there.
She must be settling scores, right? Because what other reason does she really have for putting Ashley in? That was not totally made clear to me either, other than she's like, I guess she's saying she's sending a strong competitor home, but really what she did was piss off a much stronger competitor, because I'm not convinced Ashley's that good at anything other than, you know, politicking.
Yeah, puzzles, I guess, right? She had her moment with puzzles earlier.
Yeah, okay, I guess. But, like, I don't know. If your only strength is math games, like, it's nice, but you're not that great. Like, she touts this challenge champion thing like she did it on her own or something. I don't know. It's weird.
Well, she's a two-time champ, right?
She is.
I mean, you can't one time, I guess you could call it a fluke, but you win twice. That's,
I'm not saying she's terrible.
You gotta say something, right? You're a threat.
Yeah, I mean, she's – yeah, look, I'm not – I feel like I just had the same conversation about Philip Rivers on the radio today. She's fine. She's good. Like, she is a good competitor. She has won two challenges. Yeah. Invasion of the Champions.
It's so funny
one
that you
them.
Just brought this up, because I was just thinking about Philip Rivers before we started the show. yeah, like, I don't know, whatever. it's reasonable to consider her a threat in the game in the same way that you would consider Phil Rivers a threat in the playoffs, right? Buffalo Bills were worried Phil Rivers was going to could go in there and beat him, and he almost did, you know?
Yeah, except
at the same time,
actually,
he's probably not the guy you're thinking about is going to win the Super Bowl, right?
Right. So, yeah. So, and I'm just not a fan.
That's it. That's
also
who Ashley is.
You're right. And I'm also not a fan. So that's part of it, too. But, yeah. But like, here's what I'm saying.
Also, they both talk a lot of trash in a Southern accent.
Yeah. Here's what I'm saying. If the only goal was to get Ashley out, this was a fine plan, but the collateral damage cost is high. And also, I don't understand why that was the only goal.
And look, if you are selecting Cam, right, as the battering ram for this, right? I just don't think she thought that through, because literally the first thing you, right? And maybe she mentioned it at one point. I don't remember. But, like, if you select Cam, the first thing you're thinking about is, if I put this girl in and she's blindsided and she comes back to the house, like, it's Kill Bill, basically, right? So,
yeah. Yeah, no, we've talked about
you
this.
You gotta factor that in.
You have to think about
it. Like, wouldn't Lolo have been a better choice there, right?
Yeah, or honestly, there's a number of people you could have picked. And I don't see it. I don't see it. And she swore up and down, I promise on my life, I won't put you in unless you want it. I won't put you in unless it's a headbanger. And, like, it was pretty clearly two platforms for people to be on top of where they wouldn't be touching each other, right? So, like, we knew this was not a headbanger per se. And Teresa just screwed Cam over straight up, just screwed her right over. And really, it's not going to hurt anyone but Teresa in the long run. Well, and Ashley.
And maybe Jay.
Potentially Jay. Although,
it's weird. Like, I had a whole Jay thing. I was, I was ready to come in. And I was like, I told you guys, don't sleep on Jay. I've been saying it all season. He was definitely going to be my MVP, and he just let Teresa take a big shit on all of it, really, right?
Yeah,
like,
basically.
Cam's the MVP of this episode at this point.
Clearly. Between the just dominant elimination victory and also the outfit she was wearing in the ITMs, which was...
I'm glad you said it.
Come on. She was in, like, black leather with a see-through thing and, like, black lipstick. Like, she's putting it on. Like, Cam wants you to notice how she looks in those ITMs, man, for sure.
Okay. I'm just going to nod my head. Because if I say anything, it's not going to go well for me. I agree.
It's not a subtle look, let's say, okay?
No. Not a subtle look. And my reaction was also not subtle. good for Cam, though.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It is interesting because she's like, I got a lot of friends in this game. I'm not 100% sure that is true. But I think, I mean, she's got enough. It's going to be a problem for Teresa. But
she's got some friends.
Like, the Cam Leroy axis is controlling the game now.
No, but I think they're cruising really nicely under the radar. I mean, somehow, even though they did, Leroy got called out a couple of times over the course of the first few episodes, like, Cam, this is really the first big moment she's had at all in these episodes. She killed it, and none of these girls are going to want a piece of her now. Like, she is, I don't know that she's in control of the game per se, but she is in great position.
She is. This is her move, right? Like, talk.
Yep.
Be loud. Take your one shot, right? Like, somebody takes a shot at her. She kills it in the elimination pretty much every time, right? And then she just goes back to intimidating people again, and the nicknames come out. It's like she is in an ideal position. And I think that like she's hell-bent on winning this game and taking Leo out as a winner as well, right? Like that's what they're doing.
Leroy, not Leo, who of course left Leo. On this episode. Yeah. Leo, did you
Can we
Google
talk about
that?
I did not Google it.
Okay.
I sort of took it at face value. Did you, I'm assuming you did. Do you have extra info here?
No, I just thought of it just now that we probably should Google it before we talk about it.
I was legitimately surprised at how the show handled that. And clearly. Yeah.
Something must have
clearly,
happened.
Yeah, that they, I don't know that anything happened, but I think that, you know, word came from the top. Of, you know, now TJ, we know how you feel about quitters, but you know, if this guy's saying he's having some mental health issues, like we're not going to make light of that. Right. So, and I'm, you know,
I guess his wife, is pregnant, I guess, or was.
He did mention something about a future son.
Yeah.
Which was also, it did seem a little weird out of context at the time. It was like, I didn't know if that was a hypothetical future son or.
Yeah, I saw this. I had the same thoughts.
But they didn't frame that as I need to be with my wife. It was I've been triggered and I'm having a hard time. I thought about it. I'm going to go home, you know? Because my literal reaction is he's kind of like, you know, talking it out with people in the house.
Yeah.
Was like, oh, TJ's not going to like this. and like the first thing out of his mouth was TJ's like, I support this. I was like, what?
He does talk about depression, anxiety, PTSD, mental illness in his little statement. So yeah, you know, it's hard to know, but he also says he wanted to be ready for his baby, be with his wife. So
you wonder about the edit a little bit too, that, you know, or what you kind of didn't see of him this season, because we didn't see a whole lot. And like Gabby seemed really genuinely moved by just Leo as a partner, right?
Yeah.
When they kind of split up, I was surprised at her reaction, because it seemed like obviously they've been together for the season, but it seemed like she didn't really address him much in any of the stuff that we've seen on the show.
Right.
So, I have no problem with what they did. It was just very surprising, obviously, because we know how TJ is, you know? It's been quite a weird year in terms of people leaving the show, right? Like,
a lot of departures.
All sorts of different reasons.
Yep. Lot of departures. Go ahead.
It kind of mirrors like what's been happening in pro sports, except there's no one has COVID, right? They're just leaving.
Yeah, no, I mean, as far as we know, nobody got COVID, yeah. Right? The injuries, what are you going to do? The two, you know, one person being pregnant, the other leaving for a pregnant partner is pretty crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that is a challenge first, at least.
It sure seems like it, yeah.
Can we talk about Lolo for a second?
Yeah, do you have a burn of the week
before
we get to Lolo?
I do. Burn of the week came from Ashley, who was like, because we all know Corey isn't always all there. That was my burn of the week. She said pretty matter-of-factly and correctly, basically.
There were some good, like, matter-of-fact.
There was not a lot of face-to-face shit talking this episode. I think,
no.
Until the very end. And none of that was even really creative, I felt like. They weren't burns. They were just, like, threats, you know?
Yeah. It was another one where, like, TJ was the only person really making fun of people for most of the episode. But I had two things I wanted to mention. One is the opposite of a burn. It's the compliment of the week where Kyle was like, you know, Cam takes a minute to suss the elimination out. But once she does, it was incredible. She looks like Peter Pan up there, like swinging around. And then almost Almost right after that came my burn of the week, Mishi popping up for maybe his only screen time of the entire episode to say, Ashley looks like a goddamn bird that lost one wing.
Not his only screen time of the episode, because I also thought that he was pretty good in the house meeting.
That's true. Yeah. He had a good, he held his own in the house meeting. That's very, very true.
Mishi's a good hang, I've decided.
I agree.
You know, that's, I sort of feels like that's why he's on the show, is to be a good hang, but I think he does that well. And he is still here somehow, you know, where it seems like he's been on an all layup team all season.
Yeah, and different really all layup teams. Yet. Yeah. I wonder, it's probably it's lucky, weird. Right?
Yeah, I think some of it's luck and flying under the radar, and maybe a little bit being a good hang, right?
That people maybe
don't necessarily, they don't see you as a threat and they like having you around. And, you know, I mean, Kyle's ridden that strategy pretty far in seasons past, right?
That is a good point. Yep. Absolutely true. All right, let's talk about Lolo.
Yeah. So, a lot of Lolo this episode. She had a meltdown. It was not the meltdown that I was expecting. Like, the Teresa thing was, like, relatively calm. This, the Lolo Nom partnership, woof. Yeah. At one point, right, she's like, words help a lot. And I'm just like, girl, you got the wrong partner.
Right?
And then she actually, like, at some point maybe comes to realize that, you know what I mean? Like,
she's browbeating this friggin' guy who, like, English is a second language at best. And like, clearly there's some issues there. And she's just ruthlessly being like, use your words, you imbecile. It's like, calm down, Lolo. And then also, like, he was right. Every single thing he did during the challenge, she was like, no, you're pushing me the wrong way. No, it's no good. Like, she was just, I think what we saw this episode, and although you're right, the Teresa thing was fundamentally nothing. Like, it was a nothing that was an incident, at least in some part, not in some part, completely, because Lolo was just losing it. Like, there was absolutely nothing. You know, it's like those tweets where it's like, you know, everyone and then just a blank space and then, like, you know, someone says or does something out of nowhere. That's what that whole scene was. And even though I have no sympathy for Teresa and I find her objectionable, you could see in her face her being like, what is happening right now? Why is this Olympian yelling at me?
Yeah. Teresa, like, was really going out of her way to kind of, like, not have her yell at me, which,
right,
or her, which also surprised me a little bit.
Totally.
Because she, I think, sized up Lolo pretty correctly. And I just don't know that Nam, in his second language, has the skill, or at this point, the patience, right? Because she's kind of been browbeating him through a lot of the show when she's not, you know, batting her eyes.
Right.
And I think that's part of it, right? Like, she, because she's got a little bit of, like, the feels, it's really all over the place. Did you get the whole, like, I mean, I understand, you know, you're a track and field athlete and you want to kick to the finish line, I guess. But, like, the way it made her, like, explode was that was another one that was kind of whoa for me.
She was, like, seizing. She was, like, seizing and sobbing as they were having a, trying to have a normal conversation about it. She was like,
yeah,
I can't even do this. And it's like, you can't talk about how you already lost it an hour ago right now without losing it again. Is that what you're saying? Because that's what happened. Like, all episode long, she just kept flipping out for no particularly good reason. And Nam, as she was saying, like, sprint through the finish line. And they're like, it's the difference between finishing seventh in 2 hours and 5 minutes, or finishing seventh in 2 hours, 5 minutes and 5 seconds, right? Like, he's like, why?
Yeah.
He's going, he literally is like, why? For what? Why are we running? And he's right.
And
look, I see her point.
Right. And
okay?
I understand you want having a finishing kick, but
yes.
You're not carrying a giant log.
That's right.
when you're running in the Olympics. You know what I mean?
I've never crossed the finish line walking.
5 miles.
Right. Like, first of all, you've never run that far in an event. Second of all, like, this isn't Olympic track and field, lady. That's sprinting through the finish line is not the most important thing. Like, you're not setting a tone for the gold medal run, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I get
very strange.
Like, I get the idea of it, but for her to lose her mind like that over it was crazy. And poor Nam just is like, I don't understand what's happening right now. This woman
He's
is losing
not equipped
her mind.
To deal with this.
No.
Yeah. And I sort of expected Lolo to be kind of the female Josh, you know, it, like, crazy emotional and just sprayed at anybody, but especially at competitors. And there's been almost none of that. Like, it's all been directed in these like weird places and mostly at her teammate. While simultaneously she's telling him how terrible a teammate he is.
I want to be delicate with this because I'm not trying to judge anyone or anything, but Lolo Jones, I would say, has something like the average emotional intelligence of a virgin, which is to say, like, a teenager.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I don't know if those two things are connected at all, but, like, she definitely struggles to process her feelings like an adult. Like, that has been all of her feelings, good and bad. We have watched her struggle to process them like an adult since her arrival in the Challenge House. And admitting that the Challenge House is clearly a difficult place for anyone to behave like an adult, like, she does seem to really melt down like a 12-year-old when she has issues.
Yeah, and look, she had a famously difficult upbringing.
Yeah.
I think that's a tough environment for that sort of person. And we saw that with Leo.
Right.
I got my Leo Leroy right. I was very proud
Good
of
job.
Myself in that moment. In that same episode, right, where I think some of that stuff can be tough on you, because I do think that is an emotionally trying place to be. Particularly, I would say, you know, there is an effect of this season that's almost like an NBA bubble, right? Like, because they can't really go anywhere, right? They're remote.
Yeah.
You know, they built up a little club, so even when they go out drinking,
right,
it's still just the same people.
Yeah.
That's it. You know what I mean? So yeah, I think that there probably is, much like the bunker last year, right, an effect of that I think probably is a little bit mentally taxing, particularly as we get into the meat of this season.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. It's not quite the bunker effect from last season, I don't think, but it is still the very, very bubbled up version of the challenge. And look, even on normally bubbled up versions of the challenge, you get people losing their mind like that. It's just there's something very preteen about the way it happens with Lolo.
Yeah, 100%. And you can tell that the other people in the house don't necessarily know how to deal with that.
They're kind of like, do I comfort her, or like do I just let her throw her temper tantrum and we'll talk about it later? Like, what's the protocol here?
Yeah, I will say, right, like, I mean, we pegged Lolo and Nam as potentially real forces in this game, and they really have not done squat in the challenges.
They haven't done anything. They've been very middling in the challenges, and no. Here's the interesting thing, though: the entire cast of the challenge agrees with us because nobody wants any part of them, and I think that is sensible, But they're going to have a chance to skate a little bit. And if they finally do actually win a challenge, then, you know, throw themselves in.
Yeah. I mean, I think this would have been an ideal elimination to go after Lola, honestly.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm just shocked they didn't do better at this challenge. For like two strong people to carry a log and do some running, I really thought they'd kill it.
Yeah, you would think that they would be the favorites, honestly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
She's got to be one of the strongest girls in the house. He's one of the strongest guys. And it's a running challenge. You know, like, I was – the results of all that were pretty surprising. I'm also surprised, you know, Leroy gave them a little shade when Fessinisa finished last.
Yeah.
But I thought we were going to be in for another round of Anissa can't be in. You don't want Anissa in the final after all this stuff.
Well, we may and not have say, had you know, a round
had
of it.
Conversation with Anissa before.
Yeah, there may not have been a round of that per se. But, like, boy, how could you not be thinking about that? I know I was.
Yeah. Yeah. Big T, too. Like, right? Big T was telling us how much he trained this year. It's like, you didn't do some running. You know, no one's expecting you to be the person that's going to carry that thing.
Right. I mean, I got to say, training for distance running sucks, but it's also like one of the easiest things to do.
Yep, exactly.
So
exactly.
It's a little, I mean, it's disappointing, especially for Anissa, that she didn't get closer to the sort of condition where she can do that. Look, you can get lucky with a final that suits your abilities, but I can't imagine a final that doesn't test endurance. And I just don't know how she keeps up with that. It's a bummer because I like Anissa and I would like her to win.
And it's kind of, I do too. And it's kind of like, it's also, you know what I mean? It's kind of like Leroy with the swimming, right? Like, it's not like you need to train to be the best distance runner in the house. You just got to train enough to be competitive, right?
Yeah, to not be so much worse than everyone that it kills any chance you have, basically.
Yeah. Like, that's – it doesn't seem like the highest bar.
No, it does not.
But it's not like this hasn't come up before, right? So clearly, clearly she's made a choice and she's comfortable with it. So it is what it is. I you know, of all the things that comes up inside baseball, the podcast, I do hope that at some point she does address that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It may be a little bit.
It's on the late side, for her to do you know, like it's hard to do that at 40 for the first time.
Sure is.
I think we can both speak to the difficulties of getting in shape around 40, no matter how many times you've tried to do it before.
Yeah, especially on the cardio side.
Oof.
Yeah, but you know, we're not going on athletic challenges.
Professional athletes. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Anything else that you noticed in this episode that you want to bring up?
No, I mean, this was in some, although I enjoyed it, this was a somewhat uneventful episode in terms of like big stuff to talk about. It was a lot of Lolo, a lot of Teresa being snaky. I will say this, like, Teresa is in the hall of players who are pretty sure they're Hall of Famers, but definitely aren't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm
watching a couple older Teresa seasons over the last month or so, just as I'm almost always watching some random old season of the challenge. And she's always been bad at this game. She's always been someone who seemingly goes out of her way to make enemies for no good reason. Like her whole thing with Nani is kind of one of those, like one season she just came back on the show and decided to talk shit about Nani to all of the new people. And like, I just don't understand her approach here with the whole Anissa relationship. Like, she has a good relationship with Anissa. Why is she doing this thing where she suddenly has to be loyal to a bunch of new British girls? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't know. That part of it's weird. She definitely stirred the pot of this episode, obviously, right? But it's,
yeah,
it's usually like the pot stirrers of the show are like charismatic people or insane, right? So either they're, you know, Johnny Bananas stirring the pot, or Wes, where it's either just some strategic or comedic end, or Devin, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or they're Josh, right? Where they're just kind of like going insane. She's like neither of those things.
Well, she's a terrifying combination for a person who has her characteristics. For herself, she's terrifying, which is she is both conniving and incredibly stupid. So she comes up with elaborate plans to screw people over to achieve goals without considering why she wants to achieve those goals or what the process is going to do to her game.
Yeah. I just, you know, as you can tell, I've grown a lot of respect for Jay this season and Jay's game. And I just don't understand why he let her pilot it, because I think he's a pretty decent strategic thinker, and he certainly was a decent strategic thinker enough to see, like, as this was happening, how it was going to screw him over.
Yeah.
I'll be very curious to see if he's going to be able to politic his way out of it. By the way, Teresa did announce that she was pregnant.
This week it's pregnancy season on the challenge. Who knew?
It is pregnancy season. I'm going to assume that probably takes her out of play for returning next season.
Yeah, that's my guess. And she hasn't been around that much in general. Like, this is kind of a return for her, isn't it?
Yeah, well, she's been raising babies with her NFL husband.
Oh, she's already got some babies?
Yes, this is baby number 3.
Wow. Wait, who's her NFL husband? I don't think I knew about this.
They mentioned on the show this year. He plays for the Lions, and I'm blanking on his name.
So he's not he's only kind of in the NFL.
I want to say he's a cornerback.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, and they're still together. So,
be some athletic kids.
They're pretty cute. Their kids are pretty cute. I'll say that.
Okay.
I think they even showed him at some point in the first or second episode of the season. I had, some photos. Did you notice that Devin was getting a little flirty with his new partner? I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what that guy's up to right now. Like, he thinks he's slick, and then all of a sudden he's got Gabby. And I'm like, not so slick now, are you? But he seems perfectly happy about it, at least in terms of trying to start a sexual relationship with her.
Yeah, I think that's where he's going with that, right? And also, it wasn't like he was happy being a rogue agent, and then it kind of like it, the way that it ended was sort of just so beyond his control.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to really, you know what I mean? Like, it just is what it is.
Yeah, you're probably not going to throw a tantrum about that.
Right. And I think he's also, like, if he decides that he wants to get rid of her, I don't think he'll have a tough time doing that. He's pretty much, he's shown that already.
Maybe, but remember.
But he's no longer in any sort of power position in this game, it seems like. So
right.
I do worry for old Devin a little bit.
Yeah.
Who is controlling the game in your mind right now?
It's a great question. And what's interesting is it kind of seems like the rookies are controlling it, or at least like the youngins, because that's the sort of untold story of Jay and Teresa getting the house to vote Ashley in. Is it was only 9 people that voted for Ashley and Corey, which is less than half the house, I believe. So you're really like, you're essentially using the rookie coalition to knock out veterans who aren't voting as a block, right? Like, the veterans are all burning their votes and stuff. In fact, Ashley said, made the point, like, these aren't burn votes. They're just votes for me, because you're not voting together for somebody else. You're not putting forward an actual alternative. You're just trying not to get your hands dirty while I get voted in. And the result of that is that the rookies should be gaining more and more power. Now, whether they're able to use it, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that you, if you, you know, if your theory is that the rookies, and I think by the rookies, you mostly mean the Brit girls, right?
Yeah, I mean,
you're
I guess.
You're not talking about Michi, you know what I mean?
No, I guess you're right. I mean, essentially the Brit girls, yeah. Although, look, Big Brother's coalition wasn't really a part of this episode, but they're still out there.
They are still out there. But, right, if you're talking about the Brit girls, you're really talking about Big T, right? Because she's the one that, A,
she seems,
I think, mostly leads them, and yeah. B, has CT backing her up.
She seems to be the Queen
B. We'll see how long that lasts.
The Queen T, if you will.
The Queen T. And CT was great, by the way. Like, I think he maturely assessed that scenario, was like, I love this girl, you know what I mean? But when these kind of things come up, she's an anchor and I can't do this all by myself. And it was like kind of sad about it. And I was like, man, like CT's like a fully formed human being.
Yep. He really grew up into a legitimate adult. Chris Tamborello, legitimate adult.
But you're right. The Big Brother group is still formidable. And that's the other thing, is that I can't quite figure out, like, a lot of people were like about Jay and Teresa as a team. What everyone's kind of looking around is like, we don't really know who you're with. And I'm starting to think that's true for Jay, because he's obviously like nominally part of that Big Brother alliance to the point that he and Josh were in a fight about it. But now it kind of, like, this episode, it sort of seemed like he wasn't really with them. You know what I mean?
Really hard to say. He's definitely on the fringes of that alliance.
And if he is with them, then that's pretty formidable. But right, Corey thought Jay was with him, and Corey and Fessy are enemies in this game. So
there's so much going on, man. Right now, this is as paranoid and double-crossy a game as we've had in a while, and I think legitimately nobody knows who they can trust anymore.
Yep. And that's why everybody's getting freaked out about just being lied to.
Yeah, and that, I think that also just makes pretty much everything a week-to-week proposition.
Yep. I think honesty is going to be an actual weapon that people are going to be able to wield in this game. And I really do think that there's going to be scenarios where you could execute your plan and literally just tell people.
Yeah.
You know, and just be super upfront about it and just be like, hey, man, I just, you know, I want to be straight with you. I'm thinking about voting you in. And I honestly think people will come at it like, well, I didn't like that I'm going in, but I really respect what he had to say.
Right. You know, I got to get my skull at some point anyway. So, like, I'm ready to do it now, and you'll talk yourself into it. Yeah, I totally agree. And also, just using honesty as a weapon in the very simplistic way of, like, let me let you into the inside of this real quick. Because, like, I think realistically, the information you get as the double agents is not that useful. Like, it feels useful. It feels like it should be, but it really, there's not a lot of ways to use it effectively other than to sort of gas people up in some way or another. And, you know, now that everyone knows you're getting the information, to like choose the right people to be like, let me give you some inside info that really doesn't mean anything in the long run, I think that's a weapon to be used as well.
Yeah, I think, hey, I'm bringing you to the circle. I have a feeling that none of the players are going to use either one of those weapons. just by the way the game's been going.
I mean, I think it just depends on the player,
though,
right?
I do think the opportunity's there.
Like, if Leroy gets voted in, if Leroy is the double agent, I think there's a chance I know he's already been that and didn't necessarily use it, but, like, he is an honest guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think there's some honest people who by nature are honest, and it could sort of, in a strange twist, benefit them in the challenge this season.
Yeah, it may. But you're right. When Leroy had that position, he was just as snaky as the rest of them, right?
The problem is they were
stone face.
They were so worried at that point. I feel like as we get down to it more, the game is going to change a little bit.
Yeah. Cam's getting real comfortable.
Yeah, Cam's very comfortable. And there's going to be a lot of favor trading now because, again, pretty soon people are going to start being desperate to go into elimination and get their skulls.
Yeah. I want to get down that hill. We were talking about those numbers before. It's like, what happens if somebody who has a skull gets thrown in, right? Like, they're not going to have one less week of the show, right? It's just going to be another week that we kind of keep going with this, isn't it? If they take a skull from somebody who already has one, like, they're still giving out 10 skulls.
Yeah, but I think you have to remember that they decide how to break it into episodes when it's over. You know, like, and there's no set number of episodes in a season. So, like, they can have as, like, how many episodes are there going to be in this season? You don't know. I don't know. So I don't really think that's an issue.
And they pretty much change their minds about the rules of the game as they go along, because they could just be like, we're only doing 8 skulls if they really want to, right?
Totally.
So, you know, good for them. I don't mind the all-seeing evil hand of the producer jumping in and making the game interesting, because it's almost always for the better. So, so we'll go there. It's the game is at a really interesting point, and I think it's a different game than ever before.
Yeah,
and I think everyone who thinks that they understand it doesn't seem to all the way yet. And I think it's going to make for a really interesting back half of the season, and maybe some weird people who are still around at the end of it, because there definitely are some people that I did not expect to be here at this point of the game who are here and don't seem to be going anywhere.
Well, yeah, and just like as it really gets down to it, how people choose their partners and what that means for the final is going to be really interesting. Because, like, how I would not be surprised if all of a sudden at the final it just becomes an individual game, right? Like, there's all sorts of things that can happen since all these teams are so, you know, here today, gone tomorrow.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is they usually don't like to have the genders competing against each other.
But remember when they did the, like, gender rotation final where everybody had to do one leg of it with you know, they rotated partners? And then,
yeah,
there's so many different ways they could finish it, because I think they've made this game more flexible than the average challenge.
That's definitely true. I mean, the individual challenges, I think, or like one person or two person teams, I find are often better challenges, right, than the big team challenges. Don't you think? You've been watching all the old ones.
Yeah. It's just there's more. The drama's better because there's more people trying to screw each other over. Although there is something great about the team challenges where one of the teams just can't get along to save their lives.
They get about, like, the good guys versus the badasses.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm thinking of. Where the badasses, you know, are, like,
and the USA,
winning.
The USA versus the Brits was a... was kind of one of those seasons too.
Exactly, where the USA team was so much better. They were winning everything, and they were just at each other's throats the entire time, to the point where they screwed it up.
Yeah, that was great. That was great. Is Rogan coming back? I feel like we
yeah, what
we
happened to Rogan and Joss? At some point. Jogan. Where's Jogan?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably together. Wherever it is, they're probably together somewhere.
I sure hope so. I'd hate to think those two broke up.
I may have to do an internet deep dive on Team Jogan.
All right. Well, I think I can let you do your deep dive. I feel like we've covered everything here.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to another one next week.
Yep, we'll be back on Tuesday with our regularly scheduled Toy Department programming in a week from today, because I'm not going to release this till Thursday. Recorded Wednesday, released Thursday. A week from Thursday, yet another challenge pod. The best challenge coverage on the internet, as I like to tell people. That's us.
That's right. It's already Thursday where I am, so put it out.
Happy Thursday. Bye.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling, and the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor. Have yourself a tremendous evening.